All right, good morning. Have your Bibles this morning. Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. If you would, that would be great. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. We're going to look at one word this morning. And it's a word we all have to be careful of. Every one of us. It's a dangerous word. Perhaps one of the two or three most dangerous words in the English language. Take your Bible, if you would. Turn to Daniel chapter 5. That's where we're going to be the entire Sunday school time. But if you'll notice Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, we'll see our word. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in, here's our word, pride, he is able to abase. Now here's a king that's a worldwide ruler. We don't understand what this is here, but he controlled the entire world. And it went to his head, and God warned him. And God said, you be careful. And he would not listen. And one day you'll notice, if you notice in chapter 4, look at verse number 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? In other words, anytime you and I start using my and I, we're in trouble. Be careful. I catch myself a lot of times and have to be so careful. You'll notice, if you would, it's an insidious word, pride. It happens to all of us. And I just want to give you a little bit of a warning this morning as we look into this passage. Now, if you would notice Daniel chapter 5, I'm just verbally tell you the story. You remember the son, grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. And the Bible says the son, but many times they say the son of David, and it's three or four generations later. So Belshazzar happens to be the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. So he watched and he knew and saw all that went on. He knew of his grandfather being turned into an animal for 7 years. He knew about it all. And many times we know of examples of people that have had much pride, and it has almost ruined them, if not ruined them. I can think of ball players. I can think of Jack Clark. Does anybody remember him? First baseman of the St. Louis Cardinals, the first man to sign a $1 million contract in the major leagues for $1 million a year. He ended up going bankrupt. I can afford it. I can afford it. You've heard of Antonio Brown, the wide receiver for the Steelers. Great wide receiver, but he was a low-round draft pick. But it fueled him. It made him great. But it also fueled his pride. One year at practice, when they opened training camp, everybody's supposed to be there at a certain time, he purposely came a little bit late in his own helicopter to make an entrance. Well, that didn't go over with his teammates or none of his coaches. And now they call him in the NFL a diva. They call him different places a diva. Someone that thinks too much of themselves. It could be a movie star. It could be a ball player. Guess what? It can be a Christian. We think too much of ourselves. We have to be so careful. It'll ruin your marriage if you think too much of yourself. It will cause you as a wife to get an arrogant spirit, or as a husband to get an arrogant spirit. It can ruin churches. I've seen that happen where a member gets an arrogant spirit and just creates all kinds of issues. I've seen it happen where a pastor gets an arrogant spirit and it really creates an issue. Do you understand that all of us in this room have to be careful of the word pride? It is when we think too much of ourselves. And it happens all the time. It usually happens because of some area of success. It's hard to have pride when you're not successful someplace. We get a good job. We make a lot of money. We're very needed in our particular area. We're known among our company or among our family as someone that is very intelligent or that is very athletic or that is very well connected. I've got connected friends. But something causes us to think we're better than other people. And we have to be so careful because God hates that. Notice with me, if you would, Belshazzar. Let's learn the lesson from Belshazzar. He knew about the God of heaven. He was cognizant about pride and what it could do. He was cognizant of what happened to his father, his grandfather. Now, notice with me, if you would, chapter 4, verse 37. This is Daniel. Chapter 5. Verse 22. And thou, his son, again, speaking of the grandson, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou, and here it is, knewest all this. You can almost underline all this is all the pride that your grandfather had. You knew about all that he went through because of his pride and it humbled him. And we read that in chapter 4, verse 37. He said, God can, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And Nebuchadnezzar learned a lesson. And folks, look, it's important that, number one, when we look at our own mirror, we see pride in ourselves and we ask the Lord to help, we get rid of it. But it's also important that we learn when we have pride, not just for that, but that we can teach our children and grandchildren. Because it is there in all of our hearts. It causes an arrogance that we don't see. One of the problems with pride is it blinds a person. It's not something we can see easily. You can look in the mirror and you can't see pride. But you can look in the mirror of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can show you pride, all of us. And it happens in different areas. It's what causes us to be jealous or bitter. We think we're better than somebody else. It causes us to think we're more successful than other people. Notice, if you would, in verse number 22 again, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. God expects us to humble ourselves. Either we humble ourselves or he humbles us, one of the two. But he cannot use his children if there's pride in our lives. Now notice with me, if you would, in verse number 23, but thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. Now I don't think Belshazzar just sat down and thought and said, well, I'm going to shake my fist in the God of heaven's face. He did that, but I don't know that he intended to shake his hand in God's face. He just was trying to do what he wanted. So notice, if you would, he had heard the stories of his grandfather. He knew. That's reading the Bible says in verse 22, though thou knewest all of this, we can know that our grandfather was turned into an animal for 7 years. To me, how do you forget that? Boy, I tell you what, if I saw or heard of my grandfather going around with long nails and eating grass, and if that happened for 7 years, and all of a sudden he comes back and said, now, grandson, let me tell you something. God can humble anybody. You be real careful. The God of heaven can humble anybody. But what happens is he just didn't listen. Though thou knewest all this. Notice, if you would, verse 23. But hast lifted up thyself. On the contrary, he did the very opposite. He followed in Nebuchadnezzar's footsteps I am somebody. I'm the king of Babylon. I can do whatever I want to do. No one can stop me. He allowed it to lift him up. Rehoboam did that. I'm the king. I'm King David's son. I can do whatever I want to do. I can tax you whatever I want to tax you. And everything fell apart. Pride causes us to do terrible things, but they make sense to us at the time. Notice, if you would, he had seen his father's pride punished. He had seen that. He knew better. Notice, if you would, he had clear knowledge that the vessels that he was going to drink out, he ordered for wine glasses, were for God's worship. Look in verse number 2. This is Daniel 5:2. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. And they did. Look at verse 4. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. And notice what God did. Verse 5. In the same hour. So God corrects pride many times swiftly. He said, in the same hour, you're not getting away with this. Now, notice with me, if you would, this pride causes us to be susceptible to many sins and weaknesses. Number one, it caused him to have a desire to impress people. So he's got people sitting at his banquet. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. Keep in mind, he rules the world. So he's got 1,000 of his lords that rule from all over the world, 126 provinces at one point in time. And so he called these lords in and said, we're going to have a big feast, a big party. Well, don't you know everybody wanted to come? Well, he's got on his best robes and his biggest crown, and he goes in and he's trying to impress everybody, and he gets it all going. And then all of a sudden it dawns on him and remembers, you know, I've got all those vessels, those 5,000 vessels we took out of Jerusalem. They're the most beautiful, all solid gold. Oh, get those. We're going to drink out of those. So they did. Because he was trying to impress his 1,000 lords. Pride causes us to try to impress people. There is a fine line between being attractive and being prideful. We all want to be attractive. We all want to bring glory to the Lord. We all want to adorn our bodies in the right way that the Lord is pleased. But we have to be very careful not to just say, hey, honey, how do I look? Do I look good? But to say, Lord, is this okay? All of us, we have to be careful. Our vehicles. Sure, we should take pride in our vehicles. We should take pride in our physical bodies. We should take pride in the things that we do. In other words, we do it to the best of our ability. But we have to be careful that we're not doing things to impress people. Folks, it's a very fine line. It's a very dangerous line. Well, I want to, look. I want to be a good preacher. I want to preach the truth of God's word and help it to get to you so that to you it makes sense and it causes you to apply it in your life. Why else would I preach the gospel? Why else would I preach the principles of Scripture? And yet I want you to like me, but yet I have to say, Lord, but I want you to like me the most. Lord, I want you to be pleased with me. So I really have to sort of set the church family aside, humanly speaking, and say, Lord, help me to do the job you want me to do today. Lord, would you please fill me with your spirit? Lord, empty me of all myself. And Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. I think a husband's got to do the same thing. Lord, today, would you empty me of myself? I don't just want to impress my wife about how good how much money I make or this or that. Lord, I want to encourage your heart. That's how deceptive pride is. It caused us to want to impress people. The way we look, how smart we are, how talented we are in the choir. If you're in the choir, you have to be so careful that you don't want to impress people. Folks, it's just something that you and I cannot control unless we say, Lord Jesus, here's my pride. I yield it to you. Just show it to me anytime it comes up. I don't want any part of it. But it's a part of all of us. We have to be careful with it. It'll ruin your marriage because you'll think you're better than your mate and they don't really deserve you in this particular area. Well, you know, they ought to be thankful they got me. Well, you know, they ought to treat me better. Be so careful. Notice, if you would, not only that, pride causes us to be susceptible to peer pressure. We always want people to like us. And again, it goes back to it. You know, I want people to like us. And so because we have a sense of pride, we want people to like us. So we are going to do things to get people to like us. And the reason we do that is because of our internal pride. I want people to like me. So peer pressure has no effect on someone that's only trying to please the Lord. That's the reason you've got all of the evangelists of the yesteryear, the Moody's and the George Whitfields and the people like that, that could get up and preach the gospel without fear. They just weren't worried about what people thought. They were worried about what the Lord thought. It allowed the reformers to come in. It's what caused Martin Luther to drive his 95 theses on the wall of the door church of Wittenberg. It's because he was afraid to do that, but he was more afraid of the Lord. The pride of his heart, he was somebody. He was a priest. He could read the Latin Vulgate. He could read the scriptures in Latin. And when he did, he became horrified. He said, oh my, he was a priest. Priests had it made. They were somebody. But it causes us to do things to impress other people. That peer pressure. Be careful of peer pressure. Notice it also prevents us from having a humble heart. Notice, if you would, in verse number 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Because of the pride of his heart, he couldn't humble himself. Folks, listen to me. I want it to be that if the Holy Spirit touches your heart, you come to this altar and you say, Lord, I just want you to know, I'm sorry. I think there's something powerful in you meeting the Lord in this place. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt go to the altar and pray. Although if you look in the Old Testament, that's where they always went, was to the altars. And that's where they prayed. Now in the New Testament, the altar doesn't mean as much. We're speaking to the Lord. And so this basically is an altar to the Lord. But the idea that you and I would pray at the altar and say, Lord, I think it helps us with our pride. It helps us to humble ourselves. Have you noticed this? Have you noticed that no one comes forward since the pandemic? These masks, they hide us. They've done something. I can't figure it out. Every preacher I talk with, their churches, if people wear masks, they don't kneel at the altar anymore. That mask. Something happens. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying everybody's supposed to come to the altar, but I am saying when the Holy Spirit touches your heart about anything, you ought to say, Lord, I want to humble myself. If you want to kneel right down to that seat, humble yourself. It's important. Because when pride gets in our heart, we can't do it. He said, though you knew what happened to your grandfather, though you knew, I would imagine he even saw him sometime out in the field as people watched him from time to time. Wow, What's happening? He's lost his mind. And then 7 years later, he gets it all back and becomes king again. And looks at his, I'm sure he talked to people and said, be careful of God and the pride. And went right over his head. You'll notice he said that though thou knewest all of this, yet you still didn't humble yourself. But notice the wording in verse 22. He says, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself. So pride is so dangerous, it prevents us from humbling ourselves, and it causes us to lift ourselves up. Wow. By the way, it was what caused Satan to get kicked out of heaven. You read Isaiah 12, 14 and 12, and you'll find out that God, he said, you know, you've been lifted up with pride. And many in that passage, 4 or 5 times, I will be higher than the Most High. I will. And Satan was kicked out of heaven. It was pride that did it. He could not humble himself. When pride gets in your heart, by the way, let me say this to you. It's what causes people not to be able to say, I'm sorry, easily. Did you know I'm sorry is the great eraser? If I do something to Brother Don here, I look here, Brother Don, look, I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? That's the eraser. It gives him the freedom to say, sure, Pastor, and he forgives me. And it's settled. But when a husband and wife, without the great eraser, without her looking at him, say, honey, I am sorry I didn't. And he looks at her and says, honey, I'm sorry I didn't this or that. It's the great eraser. And pride keeps you from getting that great eraser out and looking at somebody and saying, I'm sorry, Brother Don. Forgive me. We have to be very careful because pride prevents that. It prevents the humbling of ourselves at this altar, at your seat, to your mate, to someone at work that you offend. It prevents us from humbling ourselves. That's what he's saying right here in this passage. He said, though you knew this, you didn't humble yourself, but you lifted yourself up. That's what pride causes in all of us. It causes a weakness that we cannot see, yet it causes us to refuse to humble ourselves and to be able to say, I don't need to do that. And it lifts us up. Be careful of pride. And then notice, it will even cloud our reasoning enough to cause us to worship and praise gods that the gods of this world. Remember, do you remember Daniel 4:37? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. Look, I want to lift up the God of heaven. Why didn't his grandson see that and say, wow, my grandfather's gotten his heart right or gotten his heart changed by this great God of heaven. He says that great God of heaven caused him to be this animal. All of a sudden now he's turned to the Lord. But it didn't have an effect on the grandson because the grandson saw all the grandeur that he had. The gold crown, the beautiful clothes. He said, I want that. I want to be somebody. And it clouds your reasoning to where you cannot see the God of heaven clearly. You can worship other gods and think there's nothing wrong with it. The God of a great job. The God of notoriety. The God of promotion. We can all do that. We have to be so careful because this old pride thing will get any of us. And it will prevent us from having the power of God in our lives. And that's one thing I want everybody to understand today. You cannot be a good husband or a good wife or a good parent or a good employee without the power of God in your life, like you could be if you yielded to the Lord. So all of us have to be so careful because this pride takes away God's power. It forces us to use our own power, which is limited. But if we yield to the power of God, it is unlimited. You and I can do anything that the Lord wants us to do, but not if there's a shred of power of pride in our hearts, because God says, I'll have no part of that. said, if you're going to take the glory, that's fine, but I'm not going to go halfway with you. It's either all or nothing. You read Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar wanted no part of the pride that he had before. He wanted to give the Lord all the glory. And folks, that's what we need to do. If we have a good marriage, give the glory to God. If you have a good mind, give the glory to God. I talked to a family member this week. I have a family member that has come down with dementia the last 6 months. They struggle. They know people's names, but just can't seem to get around very well. But I remember witnessing to this person a lot because I love them. And I don't know if they know the Lord as Savior, but I'm afraid now it's too late to be able to share the gospel with them. But they're completely different than they were. One, very prideful, could do things. Now, very humbled, can't do anything. I just urge you today that God can humble us any one of 1,000 ways. Or we can humble ourselves. And God expects that. I want you to notice this. Pride also takes away the power of God, but it also makes us forget the punishments of God. How could you forget being made an animal of your grandfather? How could you ever forget that? But he did. He forgot about, how could you forget that everybody ought to extol the God of heaven? How could you forget that and use his 5,000 cups and goblets to drink out of to your gods? How could you forget that? Well, notice if you would, the cost of pride is great. You'll notice Belshazzar was cognizant of the fact that is of all this. But pride causes many weaknesses. And the price of pride is costly. I want you to just notice in chapter 5, verse number 6. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. Very few times in Scripture will you find a man this scared. But I guess if you saw and I saw the finger of a man's hand right on the wall up there and the plaster start flying, it might get all of our attention. Now keep in mind, he's got 1,000 of his lords there. They're all drinking and partying, and all of a sudden God starts to write where everybody can see it. And as he's writing in this stone and everything's starting to fly, they're saying, oh my, what is that? And he's terrified. Notice if you would, verse 5. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the king's wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. He just saw the part of the hand of God, and it terrified him. He just saw part of God's hand, and it terrified him. To the point the Bible says his knees knocked. He was just scared. Couldn't move. His joints were loosened. It just froze. And you notice in verse 7, the king cried aloud. It's like he yelled at the top of his lungs to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers and say, please somebody tell me whose hand that was. What's going on? Now, can you imagine the shame that's in his heart and the embarrassment as he's got these 1,000 lords here and he thinks he's the king of all the world and one hand writes on that wall and he knows now he's nothing. He's embarrassed. He's ashamed in front of the very peers he tried to impress. God can do that. He became so fearful in his heart that he almost couldn't function. And you'll notice the last punishment that he got is he lost everything. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. Well, let's look at verse 23, but look at the last part of it. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? So Daniel said, look, the God that holds your breath in his hands. Now, you don't think that doesn't terrify somebody. It didn't matter if those thousands of lords were there, and none of it all mattered anymore. Now he knew it was just him and God. And that's the way you eliminate pride. Just you and the Lord. That's the way you begin to eliminate pride. Lord, it's just you and I. I just want to be what you want me to be. He'll tell you. He'll make sure that you understand you didn't handle that right with your wife or your husband. You didn't handle that right with your family. You didn't handle that right with your brother or your sister. You didn't handle it. Because if you're constantly saying, Lord, am I doing the right things for you? He will guide your thoughts. He will keep you. Draw nigh to the Lord and he'll draw nigh to you. Pride separates. And you'll notice, if you would, he says then in verse number 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him. And this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Tekel Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Now that's a pretty severe punishment. There's a day when your kingdom ends. God's got a deadline on your kingdom. Notice this. Tekel, thou art found, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Boy, now that would be a terrible statement written, spoken to you by a prophet of God. When you've seen the hand of God writing on the wall, and you begin to say, oh my, I don't have enough. Yeah, I have no weight with the Lord. I carry no weight with the Lord. I'm the king of all the earth, but I carry no weight with God. To know that in such a vivid way, oh, what punishment. Notice this. Verse 28. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Do you understand what happened right there in that verse? He threw away all of his pride and said, oh, Daniel, thank you so much for telling me of what that meant. I'm going to make you third in the kingdom. Everybody worship Daniel. Everybody pay attention to Daniel because he's got a connection with this great God. No longer is he worried about golden vessels to drink in. No longer is he worried about impressing his friends. Now he's just trying to make sure God is pleased. I've taken your man and made him third in the kingdom, Lord. Notice, if you would, in verse number 30, in that night. Now, folks, there's a reason God put this story in Scripture. And I think it's an important example of look at how quickly God deals with this pride. In verse 5 of chapter 5, in the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand. In verse 30, in that night. In other words, God is showing us that he punishes sin. He can punish sin immediately. But he gave Nebuchadnezzar 1 year to think about his pride. And then punished him for 7 years. God can wait for a year or God can do it this night. We have to learn pride is something God hates. He didn't set it aside with Nebuchadnezzar. He just let him hang himself. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather the Lord show me my pride so I can get rid of it rather than hang myself. So today, I just want to close with this. We must be careful to avoid pride in our lives or to get rid of it. Now, one, how do we get rid of it? We should ask God to use his word to point out pride in our lives. As David said, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Everybody in this room, take the word pride, write it down and say, Lord, please there's any pride in my life, would you please show it to me? Lord, please. I'm trusting you. You're the only one I can trust. Just show me my pride. Would you be willing to do that? That's step one. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't willing. Cost him 7 years of his life. Belshazzar wasn't willing. It cost him his kingdom. And oh, by the way, it cost him his life too. Number two, every time God points it out, we should confess it and forsake it. Lord, I see that. Help me not to ever do that again. I'm so sorry. Lord, help me to have a humble heart for that. Father, help me to be able to humble myself. I don't want you to have to humble me, dear Lord. I want to humble myself for your sake. And number three, we should yield our hearts to the Lord every day. Now, first, to clean ourselves up, Lord, search me, see if there's any pride in my life. Second, confess it faithfully. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want this. I don't want that. But then once we've sort of gotten our lives cleaned up a little bit, every morning when we get up, we yield ourselves to the Lord. Lord, would you please help me today to live a prideless life? Lord, help me to live a humble life, a yielded life to you. It makes my marriage better. It makes me a better employee. Lord, it makes me a better person. Would you please, dear Lord, help me not to have pride? Lord, I want to look nice and be sharp and do my best to represent you well, but Lord, not for my sake. You know the difference it makes between pride and the way we're supposed to be? Who's it for? Is it for you or is it for him? That's the definition. I want to look nice today. Is it okay? I want to look nice today. I want Don to notice me. I want to preach good today because I want so-and-so to notice it. Lord, I want to preach good today, Lord, because you're listening and I want to represent you well. I want our people to see how wonderful you are. Pride, the difference is who are you trying to impress? Him or others? I'll close with this. Saul, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel 15. We'll close 1 Samuel 15. I want you to notice, Saul has become king. In 2 years, just a few years, Saul was, remember, he hid himself in the stuff because he was too humble as a king. They selected him as king. He went and hid himself. He just didn't feel worthy. And then in just a few years, look at this, verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Look, when you're little in your own sight, the way you're little, and the way I'm little, is when I say, Lord, how am I doing? I humble myself to him. That's what keeps pride out. Who's it for? Who's it for? When you do something great, who's it for? When you do something good, who's it for? Tonight, today, consider your heart. Don't make the Lord have to humble you. Humble yourself. Lord Jesus, thank you today for the clear stories in Scripture that should cause us to take note, to get rid of our pride, and to do the things that we do for your sake and not to impress others. In your name we pray. Amen.